Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This episode of the Potterverse is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. I love to help people feel more confident and creative when it comes to their beauty products and their skincare. And one of my favorite products all year round, but especially now in the summertime, while we're wearing our masks, is mascara. It's something super simple, but it helps your eyes look more awake and open. And Lord knows I need to look more awake and open.
Apparently
right now,
I do too.
Because Blake and I are tied right now. So if you would like to try out my best-selling mascara, it's my 4D mascara at a discount, you can do that by heading to minutewithmary.com/discount. From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the Potterverse. It's a podcast dedicated to the film and book universe of Harry Potter. So grab your favorite wands and time turners. Let's step into the night and pursue that flighty temptress adventure. Everybody, and welcome. My name's Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and man, I am tired. I'm not going to lie. I could use a minute with Mary right now.
Amen, man.
All the minutes with Mary. As a matter of fact, I spend all the minutes with Mary, which is great.
You do.
I get minute with Mary for free, which, you know, is amazing.
You're welcome, Blake. You are welcome.
You know, I love this chapter. I love this chapter so much.
Yeah.
And I love it so much because of how it ends. I think the way that it ends is just brilliant. And I would love to keep talking about that, obviously. Mm-hmm. Book in front of me. I am ready to go. I am all set.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I can't find the Google Drive document.
That's
so
fine.
Here you go.
That's totally fine.
Here.
Because, again, you just...
What?
Mary, I love you so much.
I love you, too. If you put things in the right spot...
I do. I actually do put them in the right spot.
I can't find it.
It's just that you are not looking in the right place.
I'm not. Yeah. Tech difficulties, guys. You'd think with all the tech we have in this podcast studio, I'd be able to find a simple Google Doc.
Oh, my goodness.
You can't now either.
Well, it's because you... Here it is. Here it is. All right.
So in that way, we are talking about chapter 3, Letters from No One. I agree, Blake. I love this chapter. Oh, and our little lad is awake. Come here, little lad. Come here. Come here. That is
right.
The Letters from No One. Come here. Let's see if you have this memorized yet. Because somebody who keeps us up at night has this. I know you can't sleep. Here. So do you remember how this sentence goes? The escape of the Brazilian boa constrictor.
The escape of the Brazilian boa constrictor was Harry's deepest punishment.
By the time
Harry's deepest punishment.
Oh, very close. By the time he was allowed out of his cupboard again, the summer holidays had started, and Dudley had already broken...
his...
New... Video camera! Oh, pretty close. Pretty close. All right, you go back and draw, you little rascal who snuck down here.
Yes.
Oh, look at... And he drew a picture of a broom. You know?
You know what? Hold it up for the camera.
You know,
hold
it up for the camera. You can't be mad at that, man.
Hold on, here it is.
What is it called?
Hold it up for the camera.
It's a Nimbus 21,000... 2100. Yeah, 2100.
I think. No. 20...
And it's 2,110.
Sorry, what?
$10.02.
Oh, I can totally afford that broom. Why don't you go add some color to it, okay? Okay. Or go to sleep. Yeah.
Sleep is better.
Sleep is so much better.
Sleep is fantastic, as a matter of fact.
I love you. Prime example why it's taken us a little while to record this episode.
Yes.
But while we're here, as you were saying, Blake, you love this chapter.
I do. And there are a bunch of reasons why, again, the ending is one of them. So why don't we just get into the chapter and let's stop wasting people's time, shall we?
Yes, we shall.
I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
Chapter 3, The Letters from No One. And I've been doing a little something where I've been reading a quote from the chapter. And here's the one that I chose for now. "Vernon," Aunt Petunia was saying in a quivering voice, "look at the address. How could they possibly know where he sleeps? You don't think they're watching the house?" "Watching, spying, might be following us," muttered Uncle Vernon wildly. "But what should we do, Vernon? Should we write back? Tell him that we don't want..." Harry could see Uncle Vernon's shiny black shoes pacing up and down the kitchen. "No," he said finally. "No, we'll ignore it. If they don't get an answer, yes, that's the best. We won't do anything. But I'm not having one in this house, Petunia. Didn't we swear when we took him in we'd stamp out that dangerous nonsense?"
Good job, Mary.
Thank you, Blake.
Yeah, I love this chapter because we've already established in the book that the Dursleys are just trying so desperately to be everything that they're not, everything that they're not becoming, or that they're trying to avoid what they are becoming, which is abnormal. And they're trying so hard to just stay Dursley-ish, you know?
Stay ordinary.
Stay ordinary, and they're clinging to it. When Harry even gets the letter that says in the cupboard, they're like, "Yeah, we're going to switch you to another room."
Mm-hmm.
Because they figure if they switch them to another room, the letters ain't going to come.
Yeah.
They will maintain their ordinary nature.
Mm-hmm.
And when you juxtapose that against what happens at the end of this chapter,
with a
big knock and a boom, it flies right in the face of everything that's coming for the Dursleys.
So, you know, we've, of course, people who are listening have probably watched the movie. We get a few glimpses of the ways that the letters try to arrive to Harry in the film, but actually there are several other instances in the book that didn't necessarily make it to the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So of course we get, you know, just the letter in the mailbox, and Harry goes to get the letter. I loved that whole bit where Vernon hears the mail, tells Dudley to get the mail. Dudley says, "No, tell Harry to get the mail." And Harry ends up having it again. And of course he gets the letter, and that's where the whole bit happens where Vernon and Petunia go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a bit where it comes even in the eggs. And they actually had that as a deleted scene
right
in the movies, where the dozen eggs were filled with the little letters. The mail carrier, of course, is dealing with having to bring all of these letters. Of course, we know the one where it comes through the fireplace. And it's just like, oh, there were a few more that I wanted to talk about. Blake, did you have any that like caught your eye?
Of what?
Oh, just even when they're at like the motel and the guy's like, "Is there a guy named Harry Potter here? Because I've got like 100 of these letters for him." I mean, it's just, I'm talking about the instances of how the letters kept trying to arrive to Harry.
Yeah, no, I feel like the movie, for the most part, it's funny because I've watched the special editions so much
mm-hmm,
now
mm-hmm.
that I forget what's in the widely released film as opposed to the special editions. So I feel like everything for the most part is within the film, except for when they're at the hotel. When they're at the hotel, that is not in the film at all. In which it gives you pause here to say, does the book go a little too far, do you think, with establishing the letters coming to the house? Do you think, like, you feel like they could be condensed a little bit more?
I don't think so. I actually find this chapter to be quite short and very, very quick to read. And I just find it to be nonstop. You know, we get the multiple attempts just through the mail slot, you know, whether it's one letter or multiple letters, then it starts to become a little bit more magical. So I liked that it was the initial letter at first, and then, you know, it kept coming, and then a few more were coming, and then it started to pop up in the magical ways.
Mm-hmm.
And what I loved about it is that even when Harry got a new room, you know, these things were changed. Then when they were at the hotel, the address was changed yet again.
Right.
And so I think that, you know, just goes to show you the magic of it all, but also the persistence. And it makes you wonder, like, is this what they do for everybody? Like, let's say you're on vacation when your letter comes. Does it find you? And does it keep bothering you in case you haven't written back? And do you have to write back? No.
Well, you would think that it would, you know, persist with you. It would keep going because that's what's happening with Harry. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I think it's a fair assessment to be like, yeah, this is going to keep happening. The letters are going to keep showing up for everybody because that's what it does.
Yeah.
Right? You know, it needs to get to you no matter where you are.
One of my favorite moments was when Harry woke up early and he tried to get to the mail slot before right. anybody else did. And Uncle Vernon was actually sleeping on the floor to prevent Harry from doing that to begin with. Oops, Lumos. Lumos, are you all right?
Lumos tried to get up on
missed wildly.
Literally missed the entire
table. Like if you could have an airball equivalent of jumping on a table, that was just Lumos attempting to join the podcast.
Oh, man. This podcast has been wild already. Cats jumping, kids down here. What are we doing?
We are all over the place. We are as frazzled as the Dursley family.
Man.
Well, not as frazzled.
Oh.
And then we get them, of course, leaving. I loved how Vernon says, you know, we've got this boat. I've packed food. I've packed supplies. It's like cereal.
Yeah.
Very few things were taken. And of course, he has that package, which ends up being his gun that he ends up purchasing, mm-hmm. which as an American may not seem like that big of a deal, but actually
in England,
it's
a big deal.
It's a very big deal to be able to purchase, you know, a gun. So I just adored this episode. I adored it with the fact, well, she's like, I'm back, I'm here.
And I'm then still alive.
We do have that cliffhanger at the end with the big boom, because we're also counting down the moments of Harry's birthday.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic. But there's something I want to get to before we get to that ending. Mm. And I think my favorite passage from this entire chapter is this. Harry picked it up and stared at it, his heart twanging like a giant elastic band. No one ever in his whole life had written to him. Who would? He had no friends, no other relatives. He didn't belong to the library, so he never even got rude notes asking for his books back. Yet, here it was, a letter addressed so plainly there could be no mistake. Mr. H. Potter, a cupboard under the stairs, 4 Privet Drive, little whinging, Surrey. The envelope was thick and heavy, made of yellowish parchment, and the address was written in emerald green ink. There was no stamp. In turning the envelope over, his hand trembling, Harry saw a purple wax seal bearing a coat of arms, a lion, an eagle, a badger, and a snake surrounding a large letter H. I find this, again, I find this so descriptive, something that the author does so well when she's setting up her world and the things that are important. You automatically get this sense that there's this important thing that's coming for Harry. It has a coat of arms. It has a seal. It has a green emerald wax stamp with no postage, by the way. And that green emerald calls back to the green emerald that the wizard was wearing when they were talking to Harry, which is excellent. And
it's a very magical color.
Yeah, absolutely. And another great thing that comes out of this is at the end of last chapter, what happens at the end, it says that at school, Harry had no one. At the end of last chapter.
Yeah.
It's talking about how alone and afraid and solitary Harry is in this world. Yet in this chapter, something is calling to him. He doesn't know what it is yet, and it's calling so much that it's unavoidable. Mm-hmm. It is unmistakable for Harry.
You are not alone.
And what's even better is that it is, in fact, a school that is calling for Harry. And it shows the inevitability of Harry and the school coming together, which plays so well with the countdown aspect of what is about to happen. You mentioned it already, Mary. What did you feel about that countdown? Was it effective for you? Is it something that built that tension for you? Is as necessary as it needed to be?
Yeah, I mean, let's be real. Birthdays are special, especially when you're a kid. Even though Harry doesn't necessarily get the pomp and circumstance that that Dudley gets at all, when you think about it, Dudley has this massive, you know, birthday breakfast outing, tons and tons of presents, and Harry gets leftover like coat hangers that they find from Vernon's room. But yeah, just to him to know that this is a special day. And it makes me quite sad. You know, it's such a bittersweet moment. You know, obviously this is a day that is important for him and would have been important for his parents. Mm-hmm. And nobody really seems to make it a big deal, but he does. And I feel like that's something that especially young children, like, you know, our kids look so forward to their birthdays. So right. I loved the little countdown. I do find it fun that is the day finally when Hagrid shows up right at that very moment to make sure he gets his letter. Mm-hmm. They don't really give that much time for Harry to prepare for school, by the way. Like, think about when you get acceptance letters for college or things like that. It's generally, you know, March. Mm-hmm. Harry gets it like a month before school starts. Good luck buying everything and packing up all your stuff. So, man. So if you had to have a letter written to you by the magical people writing these letters from Hogwarts, it's probably the house elves, or magical pen. I'd like to imagine it's the magical pen, not the elves who have to keep sending all these things.
It definitely is the magical pen. The house elves are too busy cooking all the food.
Yeah. And washing all the laundry.
doing all the dishes. Floors.
Yeah.
and doing everything else.
What would your letter be addressed as?
What do you mean?
Mr. Blake Larson.
It'd be Mr. B. Larson. That's okay. Probably what it would be. Mr. B. Larson, the most awesomest guy on the entire planet. Obviously.
Mine
would be Mr. B. Larson, a.k.a. Batman.
Oh, okay.
Okay, good. There we go.
Mine would be.
What's yours?
Ms. Mary Larson. Small yellow house. Third floor. Left side of the bed.
Oh, look at you. It's always the left
side of the
bed. Come
here. You can tell me yours. Come here. Let's ask our son since he's still here. No, come here. Here, come here.
Our son wants to let you guys know.
What would your letter be addressed as if you had to describe?
Mr. R. Larson. 11.
No. Not our actual address. Like, how would you describe? How would you describe like where your room is or where you sleep?
I sleep in an upstairs room. Probably I have three floors, and I sleep in the second floor.
Okay,
top bunk, right?
Top bunk.
There you go.
That's
man.
Right. Room on the left, first floor, top bunk.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Oh man, that's so funny.
So I felt awkward and bad for Petunia in this chapter. Now, Dudley was completely inconvenienced. No, missing my show. Like, oh well, Dudley.
Yeah, get out of here. Go ruin some more of your television sets.
Petunia
and all the stuff that you got.
Is trying to, you know, speak sense, some sense into Vernon. You know, she's saying, like, well, maybe we should, you know, write back or something. And Vernon just kind of like snaps at her. You know, like maybe we should write back. And he says, no. And we're going to completely ignore it. And then, when they're running around and they're doing all this stuff and they end up going to the house. I think it's the house. Oh no, it's at the hotel. She says, wouldn't it just be better to go home? Like she kind of gets it. You know, her sister was a witch, and she understands how persistent this can be.
Yep.
And I think she just kind of wants to write back and say, you know what, thanks, but no thanks. This isn't working. Obviously, Vernon has no idea how extreme these magical matters can be.
And he shouldn't. He should have no idea what it's like for them.
And yet, he's the one that gets the final say. That's what I'm saying is I don't like that. I feel like Petunia was trying to be a bit more reasonable and saying, you know, we can just write back and we can say no thanks. We don't have to try to run away all the time. I mean, these letters are just getting more and more persistent.
Sure.
So let's just let them know how we're feeling. And I don't like that Vernon gets the last say.
Well, you know, it's probably indicative of the kind of relationship that they have. And also the fact that he is just so dead set on remaining normal. He doesn't even want to acknowledge that they're coming. I mean, he says, Sunday is my favorite day. No post, you know, like no post. Kid, can't come. Never mind all the owls that are coming. Never mind the fact that they're in chicken eggs, all that other stuff. Doesn't matter. There's no post. Mm. It's just delusional.
But he also sees no good in it. And granted, this is all from what we assume she has told him. I do find it interesting. You know, he says, didn't we swear that when we took him and we'd stamp out that dangerous nonsense? Mm-hmm. And it really intrigues me. And I don't know if anyone has an idea of how much about the wizarding world Vernon knows. I would love to see this resource because I feel like all he knows is from what Petunia has told him.
Daddy's gone mad, hasn't he?
I love that line. When you read this chapter, it's really such a treat to know how much of movie one truly pulled words straight out of the book.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because then you get to kind of hear their voices as you're reading. But, you know, I'm always intrigued, like, Petunia wished she could go to Hogwarts. She wished she got that letter. And she was the one that had to be dealing with, you know, opening up all those 24
right.
eggs.
Right.
This is a letter that she desperately wanted.
And it's not coming for her.
No. And yet she still is the one who tries to be reasonable, saying, let's write back. Let's just stop. And so I'm always wondering, like, how much does Vernon know? And does Vernon know anything of the good? Because Petunia obviously did. She loved her sister. And granted, she was jealous.
Mm-hmm.
But she still wanted it.
Of course she still wanted it. She wanted to feel like she was part of something. And that's the funny thing. When she finally does get to marry Vernon, she does feel like she's part of something.
Yes.
And now she's reliving these moments where she is getting these letters. And the letters are the bane of her existence. It's the jealousy that she has. I mean, it's great. But Mary, you made a great point. The film, for the most part, it's one of the most faithful films to a book I've ever seen.
Agreed.
And it's almost to a point like where it's a detriment, like where I feel like the film is the greatest hits of the book because there was a bunch. Like, I have a lot of complaints about Outlander and like how sometimes I feel like the writers need to get to the stuff. They need to get to the stuff because that's what makes a lot of readers happy. I feel like the first
Outlander
film
needs to be longer. That is the saddest thing about Outlander, is that if you do want to include all these delicious, fun bits that we as readers enjoy, you need a longer season.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. But for the film here itself, this is a pretty... It feels like a greatest hits. And it feels like a bunch of moments put together, but that doesn't make it any more magical. Chris Columbus did a good job directing it, but I don't think.
Which, why would you name your child that?
That's a good point. Unless he changed his name.
No, I wish Voldemort changed his name.
No, Voldemort's a great name. Voldemort, because it's angry. Voldemort. It's an angry name.
Ooh. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, screw you, a Voldemort.
Okay.
But yeah, all I can hear when I read that line was, Daddy's gone mad, hasn't he?
Exactly. You know? That's what I mean. As you reread these bits, it really you could picture these people. And that was one of the things that I was pleased about when I saw the movie, but also was difficult. As I'd read, you know, so many of them, I'm trying to think when the first one came out. I think I read all the first four and then the movie came out. And I had these people pictured and their voices in my own mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kind of couldn't go back, especially because so much of it was word for word, that when you hear it, Daddy's gone mad, hasn't he? Like, you do hear that actor's voice in your mind. I adored this episode. I adored this chapter. It's fun. It's whimsical. There's so much to unpack in the next chapter, however. So much to unpack.
Yeah. There's a lot to unpack. But I think there's a great beginning for that chapter at the end of this chapter. Because what happens is, again, the author does a great job in getting to the tension of it all. The tension for this chapter is spectacular.
It's like we talk about TV a lot something.
I know. The tension for this chapter is spectacular because Harry doesn't know what's about to happen. The rising tension with each time that Vernon moves the family to a new place, the letters are coming more. They're becoming more addressed,
persistent.
Persistent. They're more detailed to mm-hmm. Harry. And they're following him. And something is following him. And he's hearing these things. This final bit here, 5 minutes to go, Harry heard something creak outside. He hoped the roof wasn't going to fall in, although he might be warmer if it did. 4 minutes to go, maybe the house in Privet Drive would be so full of letters that when they got back, he'd be able to steal one somehow. 3 minutes to go, what was that, the sea slapping hard on the rock like that? And 2 minutes to go, what was that funny crunching noise? Was the rock crumbling onto the sea? 1 minute to go, and he would be 11. 30 seconds, 20, 10, 9. Maybe he'd wake Dudley up just to annoy him. 3, 2, 1, boom. Like, that impending tension is coming. It is happening. And there's this great... Harry's life at this point changes forever. And yep. It comes not with a soft clap or not with a letter, but with a loud boom. Things are about to change. It evokes a kind of connection to when Mrs. Dursley woke Harry up in the cupboard in the first chapter one, where it reminded me of The Matrix and Neo. Remember okay. The Matrix when he falls asleep at his computer and it says, "Wake up, Neo. You have to follow the rabbit."
Yeah.
And it wakes him up. I got the same feeling thinking about it. And this was... Harry's moment at the club in The Matrix. This was his moment to like wake up.
You know, it's such a fun chapter because you can't stop. And that's why we will be doing chapter 4 a lot sooner, I think. We're going to try to squeeze, you know, no matter what, we're hitting chapter 4 this week.
Yes.
Because we're promising to do at least 2. But the cliffhanger of that boom, and as you're reading that time ticking down, it makes you want to turn the page.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like now I need to know what it is and I need to keep going. And obviously, you know, 99% of us know what happens,
right? But the author is setting up a world that is you can't stop.
Yeah,
you need to know the next thing, because she's done such an incredible job setting up her world in ways that you don't even know yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, talking about the large letter H with the crest of the badger and the lion and the snake and the raven. You don't even know that yet. But when you finally get to it, you remember back thinking, oh, you have this recollection of it. He's like, okay, that makes sense. You're already introduced.
What's weird is they changed the seal, the stamp color for the movie. They changed it to red. In the book, it's green.
Probably because red shows up better.
Oh, okay.
That's my guess.
Okay.
That's my guess. And, you know, again, you're noticing a lot of the different colors here. Green is showing up
green
a lot.
Green is a very magical color. You know, the other thing, I don't even know if they address in the movie that Harry gets a room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just know that in the next movie, he has a room.
Right.
You know, that this...
Oh, that's a good point.
You know, like, he's up there with Hedwig, and they're like, okay, you better be quiet, like, when Dobby comes.
Yes, yeah.
But there's no... We don't get in the movie why he now doesn't live under the cupboard.
That's true. That's a good point. That's a good point. I like that. All right, well, I think that's it for now. Marvin, are you ready to close this bad boy on? Anything else you got to say?
No, I'm good. I'm good. But we are excited to delve in. As I said, I have a feeling we're going to be doing more than 2 chapters this week. So hang on tight, Spider Monkeys.
Let's do it.
We want to thank you so much for reading along with us or just enjoying these podcast episodes to refresh your memory of this beloved series. It's bringing us joy right now, and we hope that it's bringing you joy as well. As always, we're asking for your input. So if you have any fun little questions, just like how I asked today about, you know, where would your letter be addressed to in regards to certain chapters, please email us that.
We did get a couple of questions. I forgot to bring it up.
Oh, well, is it in regards to this chapter? Because if so... Then you need to pause this music immediately.
We're going to pause the music.
Yes.
We're going to pause the music. I'm going to kick the cat off the table.
Because go, Lumos, go.
I need to get to it. You're going to have to vamp for
okay,
me.
Okay, I will.
What
I was going to say, but I'm going to say it again, is that if you wanted to make some of these whimsical, magical questions in regards to each chapter, you can email us them at Mary and Blake Media. Mary and Blake
Attagirl,
Media.
Get the brand right.
At gmail.com. And maybe in the subject line, put what chapter it's in regards to. So even if you're very far away and you're like, oh, I have a great one about Halloween, you know, just write the chapter number or the chapter title in there, and we will make sure that we save them so we can add some whimsy into the podcast episode.
All right, this one comes from Stephanie Holmes. She says, hello, Mary and Blake.
Stephanie's joining us live on Facebook
right
now.
Here's my question for you. If one of your kids got a Hogwarts letter at age 11, how do you think you, as a parent, would respond to them getting invited to a world you knew nothing about? Ooh. Assuming that this is a world where Hogwarts is real and you don't actually know about it. Hope you guys are good. So enjoying the show. How would you react, Marvin, to go to a school that you knew nothing about? Mm. And it was basically saying, like, okay, we're going to pig fights.
See... Rumble roar.
There you go. That's a Star Kid reference
you're welcome.
For you.
Yeah. I always kind of imagined that Muggle born children didn't get their letter this way, that they actually got like an admissions officer who would just apparate and meet with them. Mm-hmm. And discuss, you know, hey, has your child kind of done some interesting things that you can't quite explain, believe it or not, like, this is what's up, wizards exist, and we would love for them to come to this school, aside from it just being a letter. The reason that Harry gets a letter in the way that he does is because Vernon and Petunia know, and they were supposed to tell him about this long ago.
That's true.
So I feel like if our kids were sent one and we were Muggle-born and didn't know everything about Hogwarts, that there would be an admissions officer of some form who would come and explain it to, like, debrief us a little bit. Or instead of just a little thin letter, there'd be a really nice packet.
It's just you know.
One of those thick ones.
The big, thick ones that come in, like, the letter-sized one. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Because, yeah, your kid's 11. You know, and maybe it's different for people who are used to sending children away to boarding schools. But here, like, you don't send your kid away. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, to a place that you don't really know that much about.
You know what I would do?
Yeah.
I'd be like, nope, you're not going. Sorry. If I can't Google it, I can't find out about it.
Right.
It's out. I'm not sending you to some weird school that's named Hogwarts.
Do Muggle-born parents get to tour the campus?
Well, the other part, you would have to have a
right?
You'd have to have a tour. You'd have
like
to show up.
Parents weekend, like orientation,
you
but
you
got to
have
parents
weekend.
That's what I'd hope is that Muggle parents could go tour it, see the kitchens, get to meet some of the staff. That's what I would want.
Here's a question for you. How do they keep this all secret? Do they obliviate them, like partially obliviate? Do they use like the charm that?
What do you mean to keep it secret from whom?
From the rest of the world. Like there's a but. Like if you found
Hermione's
out,
parents know.
Yeah, right.
So like we would know if right. our child.
But
was
I think the larger question is, you got a bunch of people out there that's like, okay, I'm gonna go on Instagram. I want to blow the whole world up. Here
no,
we go.
They wouldn't do that. They have the Statue of Secrecy.
Do they have to? You know, do they have to sign an NDA? A non-disclosure agreement?
They get in trouble with their like wizarding police.
Oh, well, what does it matter? You're a Muggle. You're a Muggle. It don't matter.
Okay, so you're saying...
Your rules don't apply to me. I'm a Muggle. You're a wizard.
Okay, so you're saying me and you.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we would get in trouble.
How do we get in trouble? What are they going to do? Beat me up?
No, they'd come and they'd obliviate and they'd erase the Instagram post. Because they've done that before. They've had to like obliviate... Remember the poor guy, the camping guy for the Quidditch World Cup? How he, I don't know if you remember, you didn't read that book.
No, I didn't.
Oh my God. So I'm so excited. So everybody goes to this campground for the Quidditch World Cup that's owned by a Muggle.
Oh, okay.
And they have to keep obliterating his memory because like tons of wizards are coming in and some of them obviously look different, but he's just like, oh yeah, sure, you can rent that lot. And they obliterate this guy so much. And then when the Death Eaters come, they have to obliterate his mind a ton that they're kind of nervous that his brain's going to be a little mush-mush.
It reminds me of Men in Black when he's like, hey, yes. How many times you flashy thing me?
Yeah, that's pretty much what they do to this campground owner.
Oh.
So I feel like that's what would happen. Is they would say, listen, you're either going to sign this NDA or be serious, or maybe they threaten that your kid can't go to school. Like, if you mess this up, your kid's kicked out of Hogwarts and we obliterate all your minds.
How much do you think tuition is at Hogwarts?
I thought that it was free.
No, because Harry got all that gold in the...
Yeah, for his life.
That's no, like but that's life. Also for school.
By the way...
He's like, how am I going to pay for all this?
Why didn't Dumbledore, like, give the Dursleys a little stipend? Maybe they wouldn't have had such a chip on their shoulder if they were like, oh...
He has like five
well,
quid
just
a day.
Like, just like child support.
Yeah, sure. You show up, give it like a couple hundred bucks for the month.
Yes.
Pay for the kids' food.
His clothes, so you don't have to dye Dudley's old clothes and make him look like an elephant. Where's his monthly stipend?
Oh, man.
Was there another question?
Let me see. Hold on. No, that was it. That was all we got for one.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all we got. So now we can close out the show for real.
So I'd love if anyone else has any questions in regards to any of the upcoming chapters, please email it to us. Oh.
Well, you know what?
Stephanie says you missed my question, but didn't we just read your question?
I just read her question.
I know. She said you missed my question, but we just read it. Okay. Never mind.
Yep. That's the one I got. That's the one that I got.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry. All right.
She's now, on Facebook asking. That's why.
Now we can, yes. Close out finally. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for, again, tuning in to Mary and Blake and doing the Potterverse and having fun with it. Go to jointhenerdclan.com. If you enjoy what we do here and you think that we provide you good enough value for your listening purposes, we would really appreciate it if you go to jointhenerdclan.com, where you get a whole bunch of really cool stuff and fun additions to your Potterverse experience, free swag and extra podcasts like Keep Calm and Crown On, which is about the crown. And while you're there and you're thinking about the Potterverse, if you could please, again, if you like the show and you enjoy us, send us a review on any of your podcatchers of choice. The show, the Potterverse, is available on every freaking podcast
yes.
app that you can imagine now. Spotify, it's available on iHeartRadio now.
Ryan Seacrest must be so proud.
Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, it's everywhere. So just send us a review with one that you think that you would like.
Five stars, preferably.
Yeah, but if you think we suck too, tell us. And I'm happy to change whatever you think sucks. So that's
remember, that. We would love for you to be able to be a part of our live show experiences as much as possible. So text the number 81010 and in the message at Elderwand. If you're not getting our complimentary text service, you could check that on out. For now, my name's Mary Larson.
My name's Blake.
Mischief managed.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.